Welcome to our Painesville Assembly of God podcast. Our desire is to connect people to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If this message touches your heart, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at info@painesvilleag.com or visit painesvilleag.com. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to your faith.
How many know our world is filled with lots of stress? Anybody feeling stressed lately? Anybody feeling any pressures lately? Any demands lately? For some of us, stress is a constant companion. If that's you, say amen. Okay, not enough of you said amen. I know there's some of you, you just didn't want to voice it. In fact, there's a recent poll that was done by the American Psychological Association that stated that Americans are dealing with an overwhelming stress. According to a 2018 Gallup poll, the United States is sixth on the list of the most stressed nations. Can you imagine that? Sixth on the list of the most stressed nations, right? Unbelievable. Further meta-analysis states that approximately 5 million deaths are attributed to mood and anxiety disorders each year. Whoa, hey, we've got an echo going on. Each year, year, right? Maybe that caused some stress to the sound system. No, that's probably not news to all of us, these statistics on stress. In fact, I think that maybe the numbers are a little bit higher than that, whether it's at home, whether it's at work, or maybe just, scrolling on social media. All of a sudden, you experience the stress. Stress kind of follows us with the air that we breathe. And while it's natural to experience stress occasionally, stress also can have some not so good effects on our physical, mental, and emotional health. Amen? Prolonged periods of stress or our spiritual well-being. So as we approach a new year, can you believe 2025? That's crazy, right? As we do that, I want to look at a popular psalm today, but from a different perspective. And I want to give you, just really quickly before we move to cookies and cocoa and fellowship, I want to give you 6 habits that you can practice to help reduce stress in 2025. How many would like 6 habits that'll help reduce stress? Come on, 6 habits. We're going to get practical today. 6 habits. Number one is this, spiritual habit. Look to God to meet all of your needs. So we're looking at the 23rd Psalm, and this is how it opens. The Lord is my shepherd. And this is the New Living Translation, says, I have all I need. How many have said that? The Lord is my shepherd. I have, right? I shall not be in want. How many did it that way? I shall not be in want. What is in want? It means I shall have all I need. That God has provided me with everything that I need. How many know that God provides us with everything that we need? David was once a shepherd himself. He was a shepherd king, but he was once a shepherd himself. So writing this, he's writing from the perspective of one who knew that it was the shepherd's responsibility to provide for the sheep. It was the shepherd's responsibility to provide for the sheep, to make sure that they had all that they needed. And so David, in his own personal relationship with God, the Lord is my shepherd. How many know that's personal? And he says, because the Lord is my shepherd, I have this relationship. Here's what I've learned in my life, that as a shepherd, I know how I took care of the sheep, and I attribute those same qualities to God. He is my shepherd, and here's what I found. God provides everything that I need. He provides everything I need. You say, well, that's the Old Testament. What about the New? 2 Corinthians 9:8, God will generously provide all you need. Right? According to what? His riches and glory. Then you will always have everything you need, plenty left over to share with others. It's not just for you, but God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Do you know that sometimes the stress that we have in our lives is because we're not necessarily looking to God to provide our needs, but we're looking to something here on this earth. Sometimes we're looking to another person. Sometimes the stress we have in our marriages is because we have expectations that we have placed on our spouse to meet needs in our lives that only God can meet. That only God can meet. There are times where the expectations that you have don't meet the experience that you have, and it leads to a lot of frustration in your life.
Because there are expectations you put on someone else or something else to meet your need. And because of that, we have stress. Sometimes people get anxiety and fear because their security for provision is in their job. And the moment the job becomes unsteady or isn't necessarily providing the income, or I get laid off, guess what happens when your security is in your job? What happens? You get stressed. But when my security is in Jesus, who provides the job, who provides the income, according to what the Lord tells us in His Word, when I seek Jesus first and I look to Him to meet my needs, then my security is not in a job, and my security is not in a person, in a relationship, or in something temporary. It's in the Lord, and I trust the Lord to meet my needs, and my stress level goes down. Romans 8:32, this is what it tells us about our good shepherd, Jesus, who said, I am the good shepherd of the sheep. He said, Paul wrote this, he who did not spare his own son, meaning God, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? If God gave us Jesus as our Savior, then we can trust that God's going to provide everything that we need, right? That's the logic, right, that we have there. So habit number one, every time you get stressed, you need to pause and say, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need. Can you say that with me? The Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need. You start to get stressed. Oh, I don't know. It doesn't seem to be enough income for the bills that are coming in. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need. The Lord is my shepherd, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you to meet my need. God, you're going to provide and you're going to take care of me. Number two, obey God's instructions about rest. You say, what? How are you putting this one in? This is one of my goals for 2025. This has been a goal. How many of you start New Year's resolutions and then they don't, you find you back in bad habits? Yeah, I've done this before, right? One of those bad habits for me that I fall into is I don't take enough time to rest. I'm not good at taking a Sabbath or finding rest in the Lord. And God's word clearly provides that He leads us to a place of rest. Go back to Psalm 23 for a moment, verses 2 and 3. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down. Anybody have any younger kids that don't want to take naps and you keep trying to make them lie down? Right? And you think to yourself, if you're like me, you, when I had kids that age, and you think to yourself, one day when you're older, you're going to want to lie down, and you can't. Come on, you know what I'm talking about, right? Right? Because there's too much work to do, you know? But the good shepherd makes the sheep lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters, and he refreshes my soul. How many know that God did not make us to work all the time? To go, 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 and to not take time and pause to rest. In fact, there are instructions in His Word where, not only in this, but in other places, where He leads us to a place of rest, where He has provided and encouraged us to take time to rest. And because we can't rest on our own, the key word there is He, right? The good shepherd. The shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, right? I have everything I want. He, who's He? God, makes me lie down. There are times where God will give you a pause if you don't take it. Society has spent billions of dollars in self-help books and counseling, and I'm not against counseling. Don't hear what I'm not saying. And medications, I'm not telling you, don't take your medication. But a whole lot on those kinds of things, because we have a world that has a very restless soul. There's a world with a restless soul. That's where a lot of the stress and the anxiety and all of those things come into, is that we have a world that does not know how to rest in the Lord. Lots of stress and lots of anxiety and lots of, I've got, if it's going to happen, it's got to be me. I've got to make it happen. I've got to work. I've got to do this. I've got to, if it's going to happen, I've got to do it. And we get ourselves running and running and running. Anybody running? And then we sit back, I'm so stressed. And God says, it doesn't have to be this way.
It doesn't have to be this way. I've provided a pattern in my word. Think about this. If God didn't want human beings to have rest, then he would have never created us with a need to sleep. Some of you are satisfying that need to sleep right now. God bless you. Every Sunday, I'm so glad I can be the source of your rest in the Holy Spirit. No, there's a need. God has provided a need for us to rest. Now, God can use counselors and God can use medication. God can use things to be able to help. But ultimately, there's a peace that God provides, the scripture says, passes all understanding. God had created rest. In fact, it was one of the Ten Commandments, right? The Lord created what? What's it called? The Sabbath. He modeled it. Genesis 2:2, by the seventh day, God had finished the work that he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. If God rested from all his work, it wasn't because he was tired. How many know God doesn't need to sleep? It's not because he was tired. It was because he was modeling something for us, human beings who were created in his image. He was modeling something for us. I found on the list that the United States, as well-to-do as we are, if you've done any traveling outside of the United States to different nations, you know the United States has a whole lot. There's a lot. We think sometimes we're poor, but we're rich. We're more rich than we have more than any other nations. So many other nations, we have so much more, and yet so many of them are more content and less stressed than we are here. Why? Because we're just constantly saying, God, we don't need you. We're going to do it on our own. And God says, no, I provided rest for you. Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God created the Sabbath for us. For us. This is not like you got to be legalistic. But when we don't take time to rest, we end up more stressed. That kind of rhymed. When you don't take time to rest, you end up more stressed. That ought to be on a t-shirt. We got to make t-shirts. Pastor Sam, get on that. Just kidding. Oh, no. God created why? Because this idea of Sabbath is to pause. It's for enjoyment and recreation. It's for relationships and it's for worship. That's why we rest. Because he restores my soul. He restores my soul. Thirdly, go to God for guidance. How many of you think you're going to need guidance in 2025, right? There's a lot of life decisions. There's a lot of life decisions that we make. Who do you go to? Who do you go to when you've got a big decision to make? It's not wrong to go and to seek the counsel of others. But friends, you leave something out very important when you don't take time to go to God for guidance. In fact, Psalm 23:3 says, he guides me along paths of righteousness for his namesake. I pray that in 2025, you will follow the leading of the Lord, where he will guide you in paths of righteousness, to the right paths. How many of you want to walk in paths of righteousness, right? David says, listen, he leads me in paths of righteousness. While it's good, again, to talk to others, it's better to ask the Lord for wisdom. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously. God gives generously to all? Oh, wait, without finding fault? Wait a minute, I've made bad decisions before. Will God really give me wisdom? Without finding fault, right? And it will be given to you. God offers to give us wisdom. He offers to give it not just sparingly, not just little bits, but generously. So when you're in a situation and you got a decision and you don't know what to do, let me encourage you. When you know the Lord is your shepherd, my personal shepherd, you can trust the Lord to guide you and give you wisdom down to follow the leading and the timing of where he's taking you. Look, God's timing is perfect. Sometimes we think he's late. Anybody ever think God is late? Sometimes I feel like that. God, I need an answer now. I need an answer now. He goes, just wait. Just wait. I'll give it to you. When it's my time, I'll give it to you. It feels like sometimes he's late, but he's not. God is always on time because he wants to lead us down paths of righteousness. Number four, because the cookies and cocoa are waiting. Number four, trust God in dark valleys. Trust God in dark valleys. Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the darkest valley or the valley of the shadow of death, right? I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. How many know that the reality is that in 2025, that many of us in here may walk through a dark valley. Some of you in 2024 found yourself walking through a dark valley. Some of you feel like you're still in that dark valley. And one of the things that I love about this passage of scripture is that it says that the Good Shepherd leads us through the dark valleys, leads us through the valley of the shadow. That there are times where we experience loss in our lives, right? We know when someone passes away and we experience physical loss. But how many know there are other losses just besides the death of someone that we love? Sometimes it's the death of a dream. Sometimes it's the loss of a job. Sometimes it's the loss of a relationship. There's a lot of losses that we can experience within us that can create for us these difficult and dark valleys that we go through. And they create anxiety and stress. Why? One is fear. That's a common reaction. When you start going through a dark valley, one of the things you often experience is fear. And the other is grief. Grief is good. Fear is bad. You say grief is good. Yes. Yes, we are made. We have to grieve. When you experience loss in your life, you need to take time to walk through the grieving process. That's how we've been made. Even God grieves. You never see anywhere in Scripture where it says, grieve not. But throughout, we always hear what? Fear not. Fear not. There are healthy fears, right? They keep us from danger, like the stove is hot and you don't want to touch the stove because you know it's hot and I'm going to stay away from it. There are some healthy, but there are a lot of unhealthy fears. But there are 365 fear nots in the Bible. Did you know that? One for every day. 365 fear nots in the Bible. That means that Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That means this: every day of the year, the Bible encourages us to fear not. Grief can sometimes paralyze us, but we need to say, God, I'm going to trust you to move forward this year. You're going to lead me forward this year. You're going to lead me through this year. In fact, shepherds use two tools. He mentions it. Oftentimes they carry two tools, a rod and a staff, two tools that they're used to protect, to ward off the sheep. And these tools are a metaphor. They're a metaphor. Not only does God provide for what we need, but how many know the Lord is our protector, isn't he? He's the one who helps us. He helps us. And I love the metaphor of the shadow as well. How many know that shadows can't hurt you? Like when we're kids, how many kids in here? How many afraid of shadows? Any kids afraid of shadows? Right? Shadows can't hurt you. Like if there's a Mack truck coming down the road, I could get run over by the Mack truck. But if I'm standing and the light's just right and the shadow of that truck comes over me, how many of you know? Nothing is happening to me. Right? Nothing's happening to me because it's just a shadow of things. Some of you are facing the shadow of things. Maybe it's the shadow of death. Maybe it's a shadow of debt. Maybe it's the shadow of conflict. Maybe you're going to experience the shadow of depression. Maybe the valley of the shadow of discouragement. Whatever it is, some of you are walking through some valleys, but I'm going to tell you that sometimes those valleys, the shadow of that is more scary than the reality of that. God is a bigger source than that. And so we need to look to God. So here's what happens. When you start to experience the shadow, here's how you get out of it. You begin to look to the light, right? And who's the light? Jesus said, I am the light of the world, right? You want to reduce stress in your life? You want to reduce stress in your life? You need to let God lead you through the dark valley. Fifth, let God be my defender. Let God be my defender. How many know oppositions and conflict happen, right? Attacks happen. Criticism happens. whether it's in marriages, whether it's in families, whether it's at work, whether it's at school. And when you experience those attacks, they can be stressful, can't they? And the natural reaction is to retaliate and what? Fight back. We want to confront the situation, but sometimes, while we do sometimes need to confront or we need to have the conversation, there are other times where we need to step back and we need to not type what we want to type in response on social media. Okay. Right? Listen to this. Let God fight the battle. Psalm 23:5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. You know who wrote this? David wrote this. Do you know what David was a pro at? David was a pro at letting God defend him. You might remember the story that when David was a young boy, he didn't go asking or looking to be anointed as the next king of Israel. But you know what happened? God saw that David was the one he was choosing. And he sent the prophet Samuel to him and to anoint him as the next king of Israel. That didn't happen right away. There was still another king on the throne. His name was who? Somebody shouted out. Saul. His name was Saul. Somebody said Jesus. I know that's a Sunday school answer. Jesus is usually the right answer to any questions a pastor asks. It's usually Jesus, right? This wasn't Jesus. This was Saul. Saul, right? Saul was king at the time. And here's David being anointed king. Well, God started his hand, his blessing happened to be on David. And David saw that there was a battle with a guy by the name of Goliath. How many remember the story, right? And Saul should have been fighting Goliath, but he was hiding. But David, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and trust, went out as a shepherd boy. And God allowed him to be able to take down a giant. And people began to celebrate David. And all of a sudden, Saul goes, uh-oh. God's spirit has left me, but I see it on David. And he begins to treat him badly. He begins to chase him. He begins to threaten his life. He throws a spear at him and tries to put him against the wall. He chases him in caves, and David is hiding. And on two different occasions, David had the opportunity to be able to take Saul's life. But instead of retaliating, David said, you know what? I'm going to let the Lord be the judge. I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. Let God be the judge. Let God be my defender. And friends, there are times where the stress that we experience is because we are trying to defend ourselves, when really what reduces the stress is to say, God, I trust in you, not only to lead me through the dark valley, but also to be my defender. Amen. To be my defender. And look what happens. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You prepare a table before me. Where? In the presence of who? My enemies. Because God is the one who will validate. God is the one who will be there to be your defender. And he'll set a banquet table before your enemies. He says, you anoint my head with oil. You know, I know that there's some things with the sheep, and this might not be great. They call it exegesis or hermeneutics. But I just want to make a little thing here, because you prepare a banquet before me in the presence of my enemies. You remember, when Saul first anointed David, it was in private, right? Nobody saw it. But God says here, in the presence of your enemies, I'm going to set a banquet. I'm going to anoint your head with oil. I'm going to show the world that you're my chosen one, that I have chosen you for such a time as this. Come on, that's good. That'll preach. Come on. David said, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to let you be my defender. Psalm 18:1-2. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. David found peace when he learned how to strengthen himself in the Lord and let God be his defender. 1 Peter 4:19. So then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful creator and continue to do good. You commit yourself to your faithful creator, and he, and you just keep doing what God tells you to do. Last and certainly not least, then we get cookies. Expect God to finish what he starts in you. Expect God to finish what he starts in you. Surely goodness and love, or mercy, as many of us learned it, will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why does it switch mercy and love? Because it's the Hebrew word chesed. You got to say it with the guttural, chesed, just like that. Nobody wants to use the mic after I do that. Chesed, right? And it means loving kindness. It's the Lord's loving kindness. It's the Lord's mercy. And when a shepherd has a flock of sheep, he oftentimes has some sheepdogs to help him. Well, David talks about some sheepdogs that are kind of helping lead from the back to keep everybody in line. And these sheepdogs are goodness and love, or goodness and mercy. God, our good shepherd, is protecting us by his goodness and his love, his goodness and his loving kindness. And when we look to the future, we can do it in one of two ways. One, you can say, what if everything goes wrong? In 2025, what happens? What if everything goes wrong? What if I don't have enough money? What if I lose my job? What if somebody walks out on me? What if? What if? What if? And you can walk into 2025 really, really stressed. Or you can say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because he who began a good work in me will bring it to completion. He who began a good work in me will bring it to completion. You can face the future with anxiety, or you can face the future with trusting in God that he's going to finish what he started in your life. You can trust that God's mercies are new every morning. Sometimes the day is bad, but you go, I'm going to sleep now because I know when I wake up, oh God, your mercies are new every morning. Thank you this morning for new mercies for today. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. It's got enough trouble of its own. That's what Matthew says. That's what Jesus said in Sermon on the Mount. It's got enough trouble of its own. But I'm going to seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, because I know that all these things will be added to me as well, because my God is the one who can provide for all of my needs. I have everything I want. God, I'm not going to stress about what I don't have. I'm going to look to you and trust you because you have everything I need. You have everything I need. And you know what? That means that there are times where I need to just pause and obey your Sabbath and obey your ability to rest. And I need to just take a pause and I need to rest and allow you to lead me and restore my soul. Some of you need your soul restored. God, I'm trusting you this year. You're going to lead me down paths of righteousness. I'm trusting you and looking to you for your guidance and for your wisdom in my life. And if you happen to lead me through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear and I'm not going to stress out, because I know that it's just a shadow, but you're going to lead me through it because you're my shepherd and you're protecting me. Your rod and your staff, they're protecting me. You've come to protect me. You've come to be my defender. You're going to be my defender. I don't have to defend myself, but you're going to be my defender. And I'm trusting you in 2025 that you're going to finish what you started. How many of you feel less stressed already? Right? Because that's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. So today, do you need God to meet needs in your life? Maybe you need to take some time to rest and allow God to refresh your soul. Some of you might need guidance. I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask the Lord to begin to give you wisdom. Some of you are walking through a valley of the shadow of death. You're just in a dark season, but I'm going to pray that God will just lighten that and bring light into the shadow in your life to show you that he is with you. Some of you need God's protection and defending, and some of you just need the hope to know that he who began a good work in you is going to bring it to completion, because his mercies are new every morning. Surely goodness and love, loving kindness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Somebody say, all the days of my life. Come on, all the days of my life. That means that tomorrow when you wake up, that isn't an exception to the rule. Next week when you go back to work and it doesn't, that's not an exception to the rule. All the days of my life. Because there's a promise in that. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord with my Savior, with my shepherd Jesus forever. Amen. Forever. Worship team, will you come and lead us out of here? Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much. If you're here this morning and you'd say, Pastor, just one of those things. I just need that. 2025, maybe you need just to have that stress reduced. Maybe it's because you're worrying about whether God's going to provide, or whether God's going to guide, or whether God's going to defend, or whatever it is. You're walking through something. You say, Pastor, I just need a stress reduction. I just need Jesus this morning. Will you slip up your hand this morning? I need Jesus this morning. I'm going through some things. Father, right now, I just pray, Jesus, your touch. I pray, Jesus, your touch. I pray, Lord, for whatever it is, whichever area we need to trust you more, whatever area, God, we need to begin to let go of, whatever area we need to pause and just rest in you and in your presence, that you would do it, Jesus, that you would do it, Jesus. You are the God that supplies all of our needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus. Father, thank you today that we can trust in you. And I just pray, Lord, that you would do that. You just help us to trust you more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you're encouraged by this message. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, visit painesvilleag.com.